I really sometimes wish that there was a way to reverse the laws of physics and that cold air would rise and hot air would go down, but that doesn't happen. So y'all just have to deal with the preacher who doesn't wear his sport coat in the wintertime. I know that sounds a little backward there, doesn't it? It is good to see everyone, especially good to see those who have not been able to be out that are able to be out with us once again. We appreciate you making the effort to be out with us, and we appreciate, as we pray, we thank the Lord that He has increased the health of those who have been able to come back out and to be with us once again. We began last week looking at the subject of morality as it applies to the clothing that we wear. And, you know, as we just sang that song, Hand in Hand with Jesus, we need to keep that in mind when we pick out the clothing that we're going to wear for the day. You know, would we wear this if we were walking hand in hand with Jesus? If Jesus was walking beside us, would we wear something in the way that many people of the world wear today? And we began last week by looking at 1 Timothy chapter 2. And if you want to go ahead and mark that spot in your Bibles, we will be referring back to it several times today as we go through our lesson. But in 1 Timothy chapter 2, let's begin reading there in verse 9. And there the Apostle Paul says, "Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garment, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness." Now, as we look at this, we want to think about some things and note that the Apostle Paul says that he wants them to be clothed with proper clothing, that it's not the way of the world in that you go for the most expensive thing and you go for the most outrageous thing and things of that nature. But, and you know, when we look at Hollywood and the music industry and things of that nature, they're all caught up in the braided hair, the gold, the pearls, the costly garments. You know, one of the first questions they're asked is, how much is that necklace worth? Or how much is that dress worth? How much did you get for this? You know, we need to be careful we don't get caught up in these things, and that we are rather more concerned with the garments that show forth a woman and men. Once again, don't let me forget to remind you, everything we're saying to the women applies to us as well. We need to keep these thoughts in mind as well. That our clothing sets forth the idea of one who is good works, of women or men making a claim to godliness. And so we began last week by looking at the terms that we see in the Scriptures. And we noted that naked is used in three different ways. It is used to refer to one who is unclothed, that is, completely or totally without clothing. One who is scantily clad or poorly clad. They're not as clothed as God would like for them to be. They either had their clothing taken away from them, or they only have the ability to purchase a certain amount of clothing. And then also one who is clad in their undergarments only. We noted that with the Apostle Peter in John chapter 21 and verse 7, there when they saw the Lord after he had arisen from the dead, they saw the Lord, they had gone fishing and they saw the Lord. And when it says there in verse 7 that Peter, when he heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work. Other translations read that he was naked and threw himself into the sea. We also looked at some other words. We looked at the term apparel, and this means a garment let down, dress, or attire. We looked at the term modest, and this has the idea of meaning orderly or well-arranged, decent. And once again, I want to remind us, this isn't oftentimes what people think of as modest. They think of modest as covering a certain area, and of course that is included in the term modesty, but it's also that orderliness, the well-arranged, the paying attention to how we go out, not going out looking like sloven people who are homeless and don't have jobs and things of that nature that they can't do any better when we can. The well-ordering is not of dress and demeanor only, but of the inner life, as we noted there in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we also looked at the term shamefacedness, a sense of shame. The ability to blush is lost on the world today. You see people walk out of their house and you think that they would just be blushing or you watch television. They black out the portions of a particular entertainer's body because they're flashing it to the entire world. And they're not ashamed at all in what they're doing. And they've lost the ability to be ashamed. They've lost this idea of shamefacedness. And we as Christians should have this ability to blush, this desire to shrink from all that is indelicate, to stay away from these things. Sobriety has not just the idea of one who's not drunk, but as we're looking at it, it has the idea of reasonableness, rationality, good judgment. self-government with its constant reign on all the passions. The ability to keep oneself in check, to present themselves in a way that they should, and not hindering others. And we also looked at some biblical principles that regulate our dress and how we are to go out into the world. And we looked at Genesis chapter 2, where in verse 25, that the man and woman were in the garden, they were naked, and they were not ashamed. And in chapter 3, there in verse 7, we read where they partook of the fruits, and they ate of it, and they gained the knowledge that they were naked, and they were embarrassed, and they made clothes. And the man and the woman made these fig leaves, took these fig leaves and made them into aprons. And we know that this was from the Hebrew word hagora, which means girdle, belt, loin clothes, or aprons. And it covers the midsection, just Tarzan, without the part going up here. You look at your African tribes, that's what's covered. You look at what a lot of young women wear and the idea of their micro-minis. And that's what's covered. And that's what we're looking at here. And that's what man made. And then, you know, note that he was completely naked or nude before the apron. And he was still relatively naked. In verse 10, he says, we were naked. Now, they've already put on clothes that they had made. But they said to God, we were naked, so we hid ourselves. And so they were still relatively naked with the apron. But when we look at what God created, what God set forth, we noted that he made it out of an animal skin. And the durability of the material was secondary to the amount of skin that it covered. The Hebrew word is chthonic, which is where we get our word tunic, and it covered from the shoulders to the knees. That's the term that we find used there, and that's what God set forth. I'm not trying to draw any lines. I'm just trying to look at the Scriptures, and let's see what God set forth in comparison to what mankind set forth. Mankind's was improper. Mankind's did not cover what it needed to cover. If you know that man, they went from strictly naked to the clothing that man made, they were still partially naked, and they were no longer embarrassed, they were no longer ashamed when they had the clothing that God had provided. And so here we can see that when God had given them the clothing, they were properly clothed, and they were pleased with that, and they weren't embarrassed, and there was no shame. And so when we're looking at how we should dress, we need to be looking at things and asking ourselves, is this something that is pleasing in the sight of God? Is the clothing that I'm wearing, is it something that is fitting with what God made for mankind or with what man designed for himself? And we can see that mankind really has not changed that much since the beginning of time in the amount of clothing that they want to wear. We're going to talk about swimsuits as we get further into the lesson. But you know, as I was thinking about the lesson this morning, you know, the old song, she wore an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. Nowadays, it's just the yellow polka dots. And I'm not joking, folks. That's all that it covers. It's just a dot. There's no yellow. It's just a polka dot. And that's how far we've gone from the 50s when that was, and the 60s when that was a great shame that she came out wearing that and she was embarrassed. And yet now clothing has gone so much further behind. I can't say it's gone further because you'd think it would cover more if it's gone further, but we've digressed in the clothing that is available for, not just for women, folks. Men are just as bad with this in the clothing that they wear. And so let's continue our lesson and look at how flexible, can we be in the clothing that we wear and what should we use as guidelines in what we wear and how we wear it. First of all, let's consider culture and custom. Notice that the nakedness was covered by God, and this was a principle that was not subject to change. God set this forward, and when God set something forward, that's it, folks. Once again, in verse 7 of Genesis chapter 3, what do we read there? It says, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. You go on into verse 10, and they God's walking. He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. They've made clothes, but they're still embarrassed to be in the presence of God in that clothing. And then in verse 21, we see where God made garments of skin and clothed them. This hugonis, the tunic that we have there, that's the idea. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we looked at last week, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5, we read in this way, in former times, in the old days, the holy women also means that the holy women today are doing it as well, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves being submissive to their own husbands. And what we see here is that dress signified that they were people of God. The way that they clothed themselves was showing that they were following according to God's will. And so when we look at the cultures and customs of today, we don't need to use that as a guideline, folks. And a lot of times that's what you hear. Well, it's more accepted nowadays. You hear that in the clothing. Well, people don't consider this to be indecent anymore. So, what does God think about it? The principle that God set forward in the beginning has not changed. You go back and look at the principle that God set forth in marriage. Has what God set forth in marriage, that one man, one woman together forever, has that changed any? That same principle applies today. God, what God set forth in the beginning there, where He joined man and woman together and no man is to put asunder, that applies today just like the clothing that God set forth, the principle that God set out. Now, we can adjust to styles and fashions as long as we don't go beyond the limits of God's Word. Look with me, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, let's begin reading there in verse 19. The Apostle Paul says, "For though I am free of all from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law." Now let's understand what he's talking about here. To the Jews. Well, he's already a Jew, isn't he? No, he's a Christian. Now, his background is Jewish. And so he became more as a Jew. He kept certain Jewish feasts that he could keep as a child of God so that he would be more accepted by them and could be one that they would listen to. As to the law, what law is he talking about there? The Old Testament, the Old Covenant law. And note there, he says, though not being under the law, pay attention to that. He kept the things that were under the law that he could keep as a Christian, although he was not bound to keep any of it, so that he might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I might by all means save some. Now to bring that into a little bit more modern perspective, if a preacher moves out into the middle of Mississippi, and is surrounded by farmland, what would they think of him if he shows up in a Dolce & Gabbana suit? What would they think of him if he came in there dressed to the nines, just everything, you know, just perfect? And what would they think of him if he walked around every day in something such as that? No, you dress more like the farmers because you want to be considered as one of them. You want them to look at you as one of you, as one of them, and they're more apt to listen to you. But if you move into an area, perhaps an urban area like Manhattan, and you walk around in farm clothes, they're going to look at you and go, "You're an idiot. I'm not going to listen to you." And so it's really what we see with the Apostle Paul. In whatever situation he was in, to the weak he became weak, to those without law he became as one without law, although in everything keeping himself, note there, under the law of Christ. Never leaving the law that he was bound under as a child of God, he became all things to all men so that I might by all means save some. And so we need to understand that we can adjust to styles and fashions, but we cannot go beyond the limit of what God has set forth. You know the old statement, when in Rome, do as the Romans do? That's the attitude of most people today. Well, as Christians, when in South Beach, can we dress as the South Beachians do? When we go to Florida to the beach, can we dress as those on the beach are dressed? Is that going to keep us under the law of Christ? Is that going to keep us in a way that is fitting in what God has set forth to us? You see, we need to understand that this old proverb is limited by divine law. We must do as God says in all places. I remember when I was growing up and I was in the band, we would take band trips and we would go to certain places. We'd go and have competitions and we traveled to Florida. And it was the first time I'd ever been away from my parents. Mom and Dad can't see it. It's okay. It's the exact opposite of a certain character in the Bible, isn't it? What was it? Joseph? Removed from all of his family? And there's a beautiful Egyptian woman saying, come lie with me. He says, how can I do this? I can't sin against God. Even though he was removed from all of his family, even though it was an accepted practice. One that his ruler, she was over him, was telling him to do. He still realized that he was bound by God's law in all things. And so we can try to fit in with the cultures and customs of the day as long as they do not go against the commandments of God. You know, if denim is in, as long as it's not too tight or it's not too short, it's okay. But we need to make sure that in all things we are keeping ourselves with the Word of God. Well, how short is too short? There's the $60 million question, isn't it? Once again, I'm not here to draw a line. I could stand up here and I could put a figure up here and I could draw a line and I could say anything shorter than that is wrong. And I would be overstepping my boundaries. The thing is, we need to look at what the Scriptures have to say. And we've noted that what God set forth was different than what man set forth. And we need to look at what God has set out. Well, here's a question for us today. How long or short should our hair be? How long or short? How long is too long for a guy? And how short is too short for a girl? You see, we've oftentimes got a double standard here, don't we? Oh, no, men can't have their hair long because that makes them look like a woman. But a woman can have her hair short even if it does make her look like a man. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we can see that even though styles change, we need to be careful that we don't go closer to the line. And there was a line that was set forth there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning there in verse 14, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him, but if a woman has long hair, it is a glory for her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. And so what we have, and this is a passage of Scripture that I had to read a lot once I moved out. Every time I see my father, 1 Corinthians 11, 14 and 15, because my hair was longer. Generally, as you can see from Austin, my hair was curly and it would stay up above my collar, but when it was wet, it was longer. And my dad would point this out to me, and I began to think about it a lot. And I began to look at it and go, okay, well, Dad, you're making sense here, but what about the opposite? If it's against nature for a man to have long hair, and if long hair is a glory for a woman, well, then short hair would be against nature for women and would be removing her glory, would it not? You see, we want to look at the standards as it applies to women in clothing, and we, as women, we want to make sure that the men are following these standards as well. But where's the line? If it reaches his collar, is it too long? If it reaches between his shoulder, is it too long? Where's the line? If you read this passage of Scripture, there's no distinct line other than that there's an obvious difference between man and woman. Have you seen those commercials? The biker guy out in the woods and he's got this beautiful woman-like hair. And you think he's a woman from behind. Because he's shaking out these beautiful locks of hair. And I just want to go and shave him because he could share. But where do we draw the line? How can we tell? It's difficult for us to go, okay, here's the line of demarcation. This is the line. If it goes past this, it's too long. Folks, we need to understand what's the principle here. We need to keep a clear distinction between the garments that are made by man and the garments that are made by God. And the same thing with hair. There needs to be a clear distinction. If we're getting too close, are we trying to get close to the line and go, okay, I don't quite look like a girl yet, so I'm okay? Or as Christians, should we try to stay as far away from the line, not necessarily take Ken's route and shave our heads? Some of us will be there whether we want to or not. But there's no denying. We know. Sorry, Ken. You're just there with me. Dan will be with us before too long. But what's the line? And if there's a line for men, is there not a line for women? If men sin by having long hair, do not women sin by having short hair? Once again, I'm not saying that we need to follow the Pentecostals and say, never cut your hair, women. I'm not saying that. But there's a line somewhere, and we need to make sure that we try to stay as far as possible away from that line instead of trying to find how close we can get. And the same is true with our clothing. God made a clear distinction. There was the apron, the girdle, the loin covering that mankind made versus the garments that covered from the shoulders to the knees that was made by God. Now, do we want to see how close we can get to this one without leaving this one behind? Or wouldn't it be better to take what God set forth and go, there's my limit? Would that not be more keeping with what the Scriptures tell us to do instead of trying to blur the line, instead of trying to draw closer to the world, stay closer to God and what He set forth? Well, how short can I go? You know, how far can I go in this? How short down from the shoulder? How much cleavage can I show? How much of my shoulder can I show? How much of my legs can I show? How far down can I allow my pants to sag? Or, as the women's pants are now described as ultra low rise, that means you see the hip bones. That means that they bend over. There's nothing left to cover. And folks, they make that for five-year-olds. I had the hardest time trying to find jeans for my daughter that I felt were fitting for a woman professing godliness to wear. I almost reached the point where I had to call up my mother-in-law and say, hey, can you make some jeans for us? Because that's about the point that it gets. But how far can we go? How far short of nudity can we go? Can we be as the Romans and live as the Romans if we're at the beach? Can we dress like people at the beach? Well, you're going to find a lot of Christians go, well, the beach, that's accepted attire at the beach. Okay? People accept bikinis at a beach. They accept some men wearing some Speedos at the beach. That's accepted. It's expected. It's okay. Well, how about this? How about the original Bear Buns Fun Run? Clothing optional fun run sanctioned by the Jogging and Running Society. Now, it's okay if everybody there is naked. Can I be naked with them? What if I go up to Ann Arbor, Michigan and take part in the Naked Mile? Where the kids of the University of Michigan get out in the center square, strip naked, and run for a mile. Everybody else is unclothed. Can I be unclothed with them? You see where you're going? When you say, well, this is accepted attire here, therefore I can wear it here, when do we stop? I had a preacher one time tell me he didn't believe in a slippery slope. But folks, we don't realize how slippery it is sometimes. You take one step, you might as well run all the way. Can we take part in these? But yeah, we can go to the beach and we can remove our clothing. We can wear our underwear there on the beach. What if we were to join a nudist colony? What if a friend of ours was getting married at a nudist colony? In 1993, there was a nudist colony. There was a bride who wore only a veil, a groom who wore only a bow, and the minister only wore glasses. If everybody else is doing it, can we do it too? Do you see? We need to be careful. You see, we need to seek the safest course. We need to set the best example. Instead of trying to find how close to the line we can get, how close to the world we can get without leaving Christ behind, I'm pretty sure I've used this illustration here before, so I'll keep it brief. There's a guy crying out limousine drivers. And he took them up on a bluff, and he said, I want you to do 60 miles an hour to the edge of that cliff, and I want you to stop as close as you can. And the first guy got within an inch. Sweat pouring off his head as he just barely made it. The other guy got within a half inch. I mean, the entire front of the car was hanging off. Just the wheels were right there, a half inch from the edge. And the third driver says, you can keep your job. I'd rather stay as far away as possible. And the guy said, you're hired. Instead of seeing how close to the edge we can get, seeing how much danger we can accept into our life, seek the safest course. The sober mind of modest dress is for all Christians, and we must teach our children. We had a lady who was a member of the church in Tennessee that allowed her girls to wear short shorts. I mean, we're talking just a hair longer than Daisy Dukes. Most of y'all have seen Dukes of Hazzard, and that Daisy Dukes have gotten shorter since then, folks. They were just a little bit longer than that, just barely covering it. They were young. One was 5, the other was 8, on up till they were, and she said when they turned 13, I'll tell them they can't do that anymore. And I'm like, you've already waited too late. You've already waited too late. At what point do we begin to teach our children? What point do we begin to act as we should? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, remember there that the godly women, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing. Modestly. Discreetly. Look there in verse 15. It says, but women will be preserved through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and love and sanctity with what? Self-restraint. With watching themselves, with not seeing how close to the line we can get, but keeping themselves reined back. Men, this applies to us as well. Let's quit taking these passages and going, well, that woman can't wear this, but I can take my shirt off. No, you can't. It's just as wrong for the man to bear himself. The same garment, the same covering was made for man in the beginning as was made for the woman. Now, there obviously was maybe some differences in design, but the same word is used, is covering from the shoulder to the knees. You see, to be a child of God requires the highest standards of sound judgment, self-control, habitual inner self-government in dress. Look in Titus chapter 2 there, beginning in verse 2. The older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible in all things. Show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity in doctrine, dignified. No, that covered old men, old women, young men, and young women. That's everybody, isn't it? The older women are to teach the younger women to be sensible, pure, discreet. But why oftentimes are the older women teaching the younger women nowadays? Well, the older women, have you ever flipped through the TV in the middle of the day? Back in the day when Ricky Lake was on and I can't think of the other guy's name. You got all these and they were on there and they would bring out and it would be a young girl dressed nice. Please change how my mother's dressing. She's dressing her the way she dresses embarrasses me. It's sad when a child is embarrassed by the way their mother dresses. And so as mothers, as fathers, we need to make sure that we're showing a proper example in these things. We've got to be clearly modest at all times, whether we're standing or if we're sitting. Look further there in verse 12 of Titus chapter 2, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Deny ungodliness. Put away the clothing of the world. Put away the things that the world considered to be acceptable. You know, some signs that you're immodest. Perhaps you're constantly tugging, pulling it down a little bit more so that you're properly covered when the preacher shows up. Or when your parents show up. Using something extra to cover your legs when you're sitting. Not because you're cold, but because you feel embarrassed at what you're wearing. Folks, we need to understand that there should be no compromise with shorts exposing the thighs or any other form of shameful nakedness. We need to keep these thoughts in mind as we go throughout our lives, living in such a way that is befitting a child of God. Well, let's quickly look at some of the false gods that the world set up. Popularity. I mentioned last week that the new fad in girls today is if you're not wearing the right designer label, they'll ridicule you. They'll run you out of school. If you're not wearing the clothing that is befitting of the popular crowd, you're going to be cast out. And popularity is something that's been used by a lot of people. Everyone else is doing it. You know what I'm going to say when Brooklyn or Austin come to me and go, well, everyone else is wearing it. I'm going to say you're not to follow the masses in doing evil. That's what the Lord told the Israelites. Don't follow the masses in doing evil. Just because everybody else is doing it does not make it right. Remember what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, there, beginning in verse 13, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many, there's a lot, who go down that path. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. If you're living as God would have you live, you're going to be in the minority. Just accept that, folks. If you're not in the minority, perhaps you need to start looking at how you're dressing. Maybe you're lucky and the world has changed a little bit in having longer garments and such. And maybe capris will stay in style for a little bit longer. But did you notice how the capris, even though they were in length, they kept getting tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter until they looked like they were painted on? Joshua. We can see why God chose Joshua to be the leader of the Israelites at the death of Moses. Note there at the end of his life, he said, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So who cares what the world thinks? Who cares what makes us popular or unpopular? What does the Lord think? As for me and my house, I will dress in a way that is pleasing to God, not the girls at my school, not the guys in the locker room. I will dress in a way that is pleasing to God. So let's not be confused by the false god of popularity. There's also the false god of comfort or convenience. Note there in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23 that the Lord said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. What's the idea of taking up a cross? Suffering, right? It's not comfortable. I saw a guy one time, he had a nice comfortable cross. It had padding here on the shoulder. It had a little motor down there at the bottom that spun the wheel so he didn't even have to pull it. Just crank it up and just start walking. That's not taking up your cross and following after him. It signifies a lack of comfort. Do you think it was convenient for Christ to be on the cross? If it was so convenient, why was he the night before saying, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me? But no, he always concluded with, not my will, but thine be done. Should we follow after comfort and convenience at the risk of compromising God's word? At the risk of losing our soul? At the risk of misleading others? Well, some will say, I don't care what anyone says. I like my shorts, even if they do expose my thighs. Say that to God on the day of judgment. You reserve that for God on the day of judgment. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. You don't care what Jesus says? Look at the attitude once again that Jesus had there in the garden in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. He didn't want to go and do it, folks. He said, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Not my will, but yours be done. You don't care what anyone says? What about what God says? Mankind had clothing that many today would think would be suitable to do yard work, to go out to the grocery store, do anything you wanted to in. And that's the way that they wear it. But God said, no, that's not good enough. We need more. What about a compromise for sports? My brother looked goofy in track. My oldest brother, Dan. I'm going to be honest with you. The boy has no rhythm when it comes to running. That's why I thought he looked goofy in track. Everybody else thought he looked goofy in track because he ran with sweats on. Every track meet, he was the only one there in sweats. Did not matter what the temperatures were, he was out there running in sweats because my father didn't feel like he needed to be wearing any form of shorts whatsoever. Now, the world thought he looked goofy in that. And there are many who compromise for various sports. Well, this is the accepted attire of someone who plays the sport. There was a deacon in Louisiana and his daughter played softball. We went to one of the softball games and I couldn't go anymore. Her shorts were skin tight and just barely came down below her backside. Well, that's what they're supposed to wear in these things. Well, do we compromise for sports? We need to understand that compromise is always forbidden when it comes to the Word of God. In Isaiah chapter 52, there in verse 11, it says, depart, Depart, go out from there, touch nothing unclean. Go out of the midst of her, purify yourselves, you who carry the vessel of the Lord. Don't contaminate yourself with the sins of those that are around you. You know one of the big problems with the Jews during the time between the Testaments? They compromised their modesty. If you look in the Apocrypha, in 1 Maccabees chapter 1 there, verse 11, it says, "Let us go and make a covenant with the heathen that are round about us. For since we are departed from them, we have had much sorrow. They built a place of exercise at Jerusalem according to the customs of the heathen." Now that place of exercise is the Greek word gymnasium. Gymnos means naked. No clothes. You recognize that? Looks kind of like our word. You change that U to Y, gymnasium. That's where it came from. You know how the Greeks used to exercise? The gymnasium was the place where athletic exercises were practiced, the gymnastic school, and the Greek athletes exercised and performed in the buff. Naked. Now you go back and you look at what I just read. Let's just get back there so I won't read it wrong. They built a place of exercise at Jerusalem. These are the Jews in the intertestamental times, according to the customs of the heathen. They built a gym. And it became common practice. While many Orthodox Jews shunned the gym and its nudity, other Jews came in and joined in with a loincloth. And some even went so far as to strip naked. They became like the nations around them. They'd already made that mistake once before, hadn't they, when they asked for a king? And look what it got them. And here they wanted to be like the ones around them. Let's make a covenant with those around us and build something according to the customs of the heathen. Folks, we are to meet a challenge with courage and conviction. We have to insist on proper clothes. We've got to insist in not surrendering to compromise in anything, not allowing the customs of the world to change our thinking on anything. Folks, we need to be careful in the way that we dress, in the things that we do. Lord willing, this evening, we're going to look at some more things, the effect of immodesty, and we're going to take a look at modern dress. And folks, when I say modern dress, we're going back to the 60s and looking at what people thought about it then. And we know how things have changed since the 60s. The mini skirts of the 60s are just common skirts nowadays. Now you have micro minis. And the bikinis of the 60s, well, they're nothing. In fact, they're a little old school. Now you have the monokini. That's one piece. And it's not always one piece that covers. It's just the bottom, folks. So we're going to look at clothing of the world, and we want to think on these things. But as we mentioned last week, God-fearing people cannot abandon the required virtues of modesty, sobriety, and shamefacedness. No matter what the crowd may be thinking, we've got to make sure that we're keeping ourselves in a way that is pleasing to God. In Proverbs chapter 11, there in verse 22, as a ring as a ring of gold, and a swine snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. Someone who doesn't know how to dress, someone who dresses in the attire of a harlot and walks around acting like a harlot, these things should not be a part of the attitude of the clothing of a child of God. Folks, this doesn't just apply to the women. The same is said of a handsome man who lacks discretion. It's just as ugly, folks. It's just as wrong. We point out these things to women so much, and yet we fail to point out that these things apply to men as well. We will be judged according to these things just like they will, folks. We need to understand that God is patient. And as we grow in the right direction, we must grow in learning, understanding, and applying the principles. The Bible clearly teaches that shorts or skirts exposing the thighs are not modest dress, folks. I have not drawn a line. I want you to look at the Scriptures. I want you to look at what God has set forth, not what Tim Henderson says his family is going to wear. I'm not here to tell you what I will or will not wear. I'm here to tell you what the Word of God has to say. I'll be judged by the way I understand these things, and I'm not going to put that out on anyone else. We need to keep these things in mind. Remember the difference between the garments that were made by Adam and Eve and the garments that were made by God. If we stumble and err, we must confess to God and correct the sin. In 1 John chapter 1, There in verse 9, John says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Perhaps in the way that you've dressed, you've been dressing in a way that is not pleasing to God, in a way that is not according to what God set forth in the beginning. And if you've obeyed the gospel, you need to confess of that sin. And folks, the way we dress, there's no way around it. It's a public sin, isn't it? Unless you're wearing them in the privacy of your room. And in the privacy of your room, you can wear whatever you want. Between the husband and wife in their room, they can wear whatever they want. Just don't take it out. Marriage bed is undefiled. But wearing it out, it's public sin. Perhaps you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel. Now's the time to return to the Lord. If you're not a Christian, then we speak to you as Ananias said to the Apostle Paul when he's known as Saul of Tarsus. Now arise, be baptized, washing away your sins. Why are you delaying, folks? If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, it's the Lord's invitation, folks, not mine. The Lord has set forth this time as your opportunity to come forward and say, I've wandered far away from God. Lord, I'm coming home. Whatever your situation might be, make it right this morning as we stand and as we sing.